Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
We're also brought to you by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Boston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, Green Bay, and Waupaca. They are the highest rated hearing health care clinic in Wisconsin. ProfHearingCare.com. I'm Dan Smalls. Today we're going to the birds. We'll hear about the Great Wisconsin Birdathon and talk Wild Turkey Grand Slam with Huntworth Pro staffer Jeff Buds and Wisconsin Turkey Commander Lauren Voss. And we'll take a quick peek at the walleyes for tomorrow mobile hatchery on Geneva Lake. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupie and Abraham, named best personal injury law firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal year after year. The firm of Hupie and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. So call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupie and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit hupie.com. And all 11 offices of Hupie and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business, so give them a call. Well, Jeff Kelm is back from Michigan and the walleye tournament on Lake Erie. Jeff, how did that event go?
Well, Dan, we didn't get to see triple digits hit the scales, but it was a good bite for many of the anglers. Really a mixed bag, and that's kind of what I talked about as far as where the anglers were going to go, whether they go towards Ohio and the islands or whether they go up into the Detroit River area. And that's really what we saw. We saw anglers go in two different directions. And we had 86 pounds come across the scale in those 2 days. Fantastic weight still. And Austin Tomasek, young angler, I would say he's up and coming. He really turned things on last year as far as his abilities to showcase his talent on the professional walleye tour. He went around, he fished the Masters Walleye Circuit, he fished the National Walleye Tour. And this year now on the very first event of the season, he got a win. Nobody can ever take that away from him. And I think we're going to hear a lot about the name Austin Tomasek over the next, you know, 5, 6, 7 decade. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Well, congrats to Austin, and I'm glad the tournament went smoothly. When's your next one?
Next one, I've got a few weeks here. We've got Red Wing, Minnesota. Well, Welch, Minnesota, just north of Red Wing. Treasure Island Resort is hosting us on the Mississippi River for a Masters Walleye Circuit. So it should be a great time. Should be a good bite. Hopefully we avoid any kind of flooding issues. They do like high water when it comes to fishing the Mississippi, but we don't want to be flooded out like we were back in 2023, I think, is when we tried.
Yeah, and the way a lot of rivers look this week, we are recording this on Friday, a lull between storms. I don't know what it's been like by you, but we had thunderstorms, golf ball size hail on Tuesday afternoon. No damage here. But we've got, I think, a couple new holes in the plastic roof of our hoop house. It had a couple tears already, but I was watching our 8 solar panels that could have been destroyed the way some folks in Westby, just a couple miles from us, got hammered and lost cars and siding and all kinds of damage there. How about by you?
Yeah, I mean, it got pretty ugly here, Dan. We had a puddle for 25 minutes. You know, didn't know what to do, and the kids just wanted to go play in it. Dan, we're sand country. Fortunately, we didn't get any of the hail or anything like that. We got some wind. Really didn't do much more damage than the ice storm did a few weeks ago. In fact, maybe it just knocked some of the branches out of the trees so that I could go and pick them up. We were very fortunate in that sense. We have gotten a lot of rain. The Wisconsin River in the Nakusin, Wisconsin Rapids area is bursting at the banks. I mean, it is not going to take much more before it is at a very dangerous level for those around the river. Locally right here in my sandy backyard, I'll take as much rain as it can give me, because I mean, I'm already drying out, and it's only been a couple of days since I saw some raindrops.
Yeah, wow. Well, knock on wood and sand, and let's hope we get through this next series of storms and you know, things settle down. How about your turkey hunting? Did you take Robert on the youth hunt?
Yeah, I did get back in time from Michigan to take him out on the Sunday morning of the youth season. we heard some birds close by. There's a little chunk of public land that we took off to, and we heard birds, just couldn't get them to respond to us. It's a typical flock that we see around, and they really like the private lands right off the side of the public. So it's kind of hard to call them back, but we gave it our best effort that day, and we both have period B tags, and I've already got permission from Mom to take him out of school on Wednesday. So we're going to spend all day trying to get him a bird. It would be his first bird. He's gotten a bunch of deer. He hasn't shot a turkey yet.
Yeah. Yeah. He started with deer. Well, a lot of hunters do these days. Did you hear about the shooting incident during the youth season in Racine County? Patrick Durkin wrote about it in his blog, and folks can read at patrickdurkinoutdoors.com all the details, or at least the details that were released. What did you make of that?
On a couple different levels, Dan, we're talking about a three-year-old pulling the trigger. If that, you know, truly was the case, one can say it's great to introduce young people to the sport of hunting, and it really is, but they don't always have to be behind the gun in order to introduce them.
Yep.
I think 3 years old, even with the guidance, the direct guidance of an adult, is too young to understand even what they are doing, taking the life of an animal, having to make those types of decisions. There's too many things going on in that three-year-old brain, I think, to decipher that for the rest of their life.
Yep.
Dad needed, you know, dad's a problem. Let's just say that. He obviously misidentified a couple of people as a turkey, and made a terrible decision to allow that young child to pull the trigger.
Yep. And fortunately, I think the two victims are, they're going to survive, and no permanent damage, I hope, but I imagine a lot of trauma, and so many things went wrong in a lot of ways there, as you mentioned. Well, folks, if you want to keep on top of that, check the news cycle or Patrick Durkin Outdoors. He's got it covered there. Well, we've been busy with lambs. We've got 13 on the ground now. We had twins this morning, Friday morning, triplets yesterday, and I got to start putting ear tags in them and neutering the boys because they're already thinking, hey, we're boys, and they're chasing the girls around, even though they're a week old. Those sheep don't waste a lot of time. So, folks, if you're thinking of raising sheep, and we got Shetlands, get in touch with me. I can help you get started. And I know, Jeff, you've been thinking about that, so someday, if you want lambs, we got them.
I appreciate it, Dan. Someday. I think we will do it someday.
Yeah. All right. Well, coming up, we're all about birds today. Naomi Hadley invites us to participate in the Great Wisconsin Birdathon. And Wisconsin Turkey Commander Lauren Voss talks about hunting Osceola wild turkeys with hunting guide Jeff Buds. And we'll spend a couple minutes with Jim Toster to find out what's going on with the mobile walleye hatchery on Geneva Lake. All that and more straight ahead on Outdoors Radio.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with professional hearing care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp telling stories and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Escanaba, and Houghton. As we continue strong into almost 100 years of providing our community with high-quality batteries, we want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the years. We invite you to visit our newest location on Sunset Drive in Waukesha, formerly Challenger Battery. We have batteries from the largest military crafts and industrial machinery to alkalines and the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or the waters. Don't forget to ask our sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Among the many projects of the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin, one of the most popular is the Great Wisconsin Birdathon. You can learn more at wibirdathon.org. And joining us now to talk about this year's Birdathon is Naomi Hadley. She is Donor Relations Coordinator for the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin. Naomi, thanks for joining us and welcome back to the Outdoors Radio Network.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, you're quite welcome. Naomi, for listeners who might not know much about the Natural Resources Foundation, give us the elevator pitch. What is NRF and what does it do?
The Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin is a conservation nonprofit. Our main mission is to help protect our state's lands, waters, and wildlife by providing strategic funding, leading conservation partnerships, and connecting all people to nature. Our most popular programs, like you said, is this Great Wisconsin Birdathon that we've been running for coming up on our 15th year now. We also have a field trips program that runs just under 300 trips all across the state of Wisconsin that our members get really excited about each year. That's kind of an elevator pitch about what we're most known for. Just protecting the state's lands, waters, and wildlife is our MO.
Yes. Now, you have a lot to do with the Birdathon. So this is the 15th anniversary. How does the Birdathon work?
Yeah, that's correct. The Great Wisconsin Birdathon, it's the largest fundraiser for bird conservation in the state. You can kind of tell by its name, it's like a walkathon-style fundraiser, but instead of logging miles, our participants log their bird sightings. You can have your day between April 15th and June 15th that you set out maybe on your favorite birding hotspot or just on a hike, and you go in with the mission to count as many birds as you can. Your supporters, then you can have them either pledge per bird species seen, similar to in a walkathon where they pledge per mile you walk, or they can just donate a lump sum, and all of the funds collected through the Birdathon will go towards our bird protection fund that NRF manages to support the highest priority conservation needs for birds across the state.
So everyone who's participating in the Birdathon is trying to raise money for these projects. Is there competition among the various groups and individuals who are counting birds?
Yeah, that's a super fun question. I know last year we had about 91 teams, but on our main Birdathon page, there's a leaderboard. And so it lists kind of the top fundraising across all the teams, as well as at the end of it, we give awards for who saw the most bird species. Yeah, I think the competition is really a fun aspect, and it gets our participants really engaged and wanting to get that extra, you know, $20 or extra $30 to make the top 10 or something of that sort. So the competition aspect definitely does motivate people to get outside and also just ask for support for the birds.
This started this week, and it's going on through June 15th, so you can do it at any point in that time frame?
Yeah, that's correct. Super exciting. It started April 15th. And some people elect to just go a big Saturday birding experience. A lot of our classroom teams, they choose to go out as a weekly learning activity. So they go every Tuesday. And then some people just log their sightings every morning with their morning coffee off of their back porch. So they can bird the entire time and be logging their sightings for the entirety of the birdathon if they'd like.
Okay, well, it's a fundraiser. So where does the money go?
All the funds that we raise go towards the Bird Protection Fund at the Natural Resources Foundation. And then we have a committee that awards these funds out to, I think last year we had 14 different projects that received funding. Some of the projects include bird conservation research with tribal partners. We did endangered bird conservation with the DNR, a lot of community outreach programs with Save Our Songbirds or the Southern Wisconsin Bird Alliance. We did funds for whooping crane reintroduction with the International Crane Foundation. So just all of the highest priority bird conservation projects across the state, as well as supporting their overwintering grounds. We did fund a neotropical flyways project as well. That's where the funds go with our bird protection fund. Another cool element to the Birdathon is we encourage nonprofits or bird cities or bird clubs to get involved, because any of the funds that they raise, they're eligible to take half of it back. So 50% of their funds go right back to them if they have their own bird protection projects or environmental education projects that they'd like to put that money into. I think last year we had about $23,000 that went back to our 23 organizational teams that participated.
And how much money was raised altogether last year?
Altogether, we had a record-breaking $127,001 fundraised. That's the highest total we've ever had.
Wow. And total over 15 years, what's it all add up to?
Over all the 15 seasons, we've raised a total of about $1.2 million.
Not bad. Okay. Well, anything else you want to tell our listeners before we let you go?
No, I think this has been really great. I'm really excited to see how the teams turn out this year. I do just want to emphasize we're getting a lot of classrooms involved this year. So if you are an educator listening and you think this would be a great opportunity to get my classroom signed up, you can always just reach out to me and I can help that happen and let you know how to get everything going for your Birdathon in the classroom.
And your contact information is on the wibirdathon.org page, is it?
Yes, that's correct. Yep, all my contact info is at the very bottom of that page.
Okay, great. Well, Naomi, thanks so much. And this is the kickoff for the annual Birdathon. We hope that we get a lot of people out there looking at birds and raise a lot of money to protect those birds that are in trouble.
Absolutely, yes. I couldn't have said it better, Dan. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. Folks, that was Naomi Hadley. She is Donor Relations Coordinator for the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin. To learn more and to participate, the website is wibirdathon.org. Joining me now for a quick chat about walleyes are two good buddies, Jim Tostrud and Mike Strom, and they are both active in the Walworth County chapter of Walleyes for Tomorrow. You can find that chapter on Facebook. Just type in Walleyes for Tomorrow Walworth, and online at WFTWalworth.com. Jim and Mike, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us, Dan.
You're quite welcome. So, guys, what's going on there on Geneva Lake this week and next?
Well, we're really excited for this year's processing of walleyes through our chapter. We actually have a mobile hatchery set up just on the south side of the Abbey in Fontana, Wisconsin. We're going to be setting nets on Thursday. And then each day we will be checking the nets to see if we have males and females ready to be harvested only for processing. And then as soon as we get done processing them, they are put right back into the lake right away.
And Mike, do you want people to watch this process?
Definitely. It's open to the public where the hatchery is set up, and anybody can come in there and watch and walk around the trailer and see how the processing goes. It's really interesting. Last year was my first year involved with this, and it was the experience of my lifetime. I've never done anything like that before, and it's been fantastic. I hope it keeps going year after year. But public is more than welcome.
Jim, how important is this boost to walleyes in the lake?
It's huge, Dan, because we have a very, very low number of successful natural reproduction. We have literally less than 5% of natural reproduction on the lake. So with what we're doing, it's going to help our fishery out more than if they try to do it themselves. Last year, we successfully raised and released between 3.5 and 4 million walleye babies back into the lake.
Wow. Well, we'll catch up with you next week and see how your program is going this year, all right?
I appreciate it, Dan.
Very good, Dan. Thanks a lot for having us.
You're quite welcome, folks. That was Jim Tostrud and Mike Strom, Walworth County Chapter of Walleyes for Tomorrow members. And you can find out more on Facebook, Walworth County Chapter of Walleyes for Tomorrow, or online at WFTWalworth.com. You'll find a location to that hatchery, and you're welcome to see what they're doing there. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
You're listening to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Joining me now from Okeechobee, Florida, are two of the most successful, most passionate, and I dare say craziest turkey hunters I know. That's Huntworth and Foreplay Pro Staffer Jeff Buds and Wisconsin Turkey Commander Lauren Voss. And we are recording this on April 8th, a week before Wisconsin's season opens. Jeff and Lauren, welcome back to Outdoors Radio.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Hey, Jeff, I'll start with you. You've been a guest on the show several times, and you're in the middle of your Osceola turkey season there in Florida, and I understand you're guiding hunters. Now, how is your season going?
You know, I only have a couple of birds left. It's been a tremendous season because, you know, I started with my son on youth season Southern Zone. March 1st, we opened up the Southern Zone on the 7th, and then youth season was on the 14th for Central Zone, and Central Zone opened up on the 21st. Anyway, it's been tremendous. I don't want to jinx anything, but I have a perfect score right now, and we're going to keep it that way. I've only got a couple more, although I still have my wife to take, and that's always a testy one, you know what I mean, Dan?
Well, I think that's an important one.
It is. A non-tipping, non-rev important one.
There you go. Well, how does the Osceola turkey differ from the more common eastern wild turkey? That's the one we know here in Wisconsin.
So I tell everybody on a scale from 1 to 10, 0 is easy and 10 is hardest. A Miriam is a 1.5, a Rio is a 3, an Osceola is a 6, and an eastern is a 12. Now, I say a 12. That's not all easterns. I have only hunted in Wisconsin one time up in Door County. My uncle has some property. But a 12 is an Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia eastern. They'll gobble their heads off a couple times for minutes, and they hit the ground, and they'll answer you, and then that's it. And they will not only go the other way, they'll run the other way. And that's not because they saw you or you spooked them. They're just born that way. But anyway, you know, I'm born and raised in Illinois, as you know. All Easterns are tough. And I tell everybody, they ask me, they're all worried about coming down and getting the Osceola. And I talk to them right away. And as you know as well, 90-some% of the turkey hunters are east of the Mississippi.
Yeah.
So I know that they hunt Easterns. And I say, do you successfully take Easterns every spring? And they, oh, yeah, yeah. And I say, well, you have nothing to worry about down here. Because honestly, they're paying me for access to the ground and for me to have done my homework. But once they're here in the woods, like Lauren, he's taken birds. Well, this, as you know, finished his grand slam 57 years to do so.
Yeah.
But I tell everybody, pay attention, stay out of that bird's way. and do your job when it's time to do your job. You know, we text a couple times. I wasn't sitting with them the whole time in the blind because at some point, you know, the hunter has to pay their dues and Lauren's like, I'll sit all day if you want me to. And he did the first afternoon and then the next morning he shot his bird the second hunt. Anyway, they're much easier than an Eastern. So none of you cheeseheads need to worry about getting your Osceola if you come down here.
Can I take all the Easterns and I multiply times? Breathe
yeah.
And be close to you.
Yeah.
Well, if that's true, then why is the Osceola the bottleneck to the Grand Slam? You've got the Eastern, Merriam's, Rio Grande, and Osceola. Why is it so hard to get a Grand Slam then?
And that's the next best question, is because supply and demand. You have Easterns. If I wanted to go legally, well, Wisconsin, you could sure stack them up, but I could shoot, as we've talked about before, Grand Slams, I'm at 117-ish or whatever. I stopped keeping track after 100, but you can only kill 2 Osceolas in the spring and 2 Osceolas in the fall. So 99, I got 4 then, and I got 4 every year until I got to 100. But you can hunt in how many states for an Eastern? 30 states for an Eastern? And you have half of one state where you can get your Osceola. Up there, I have family property in Wisconsin, but I would bet my bottom penny that when I show up, now trust me, Lauren, he's already sold off the next whatever 50 for me. But if I had to go to any of those Eastern states, if I knocked on enough doors, I guarantee you I would get permission from somebody and they say, sure, hunt them. They're sort of a nuisance. I wouldn't have to spend any money. I wouldn't have to beg, borrow, or steal. But down here, you can't even find a front door. They're all locked gates on ranches. They're big ranches. There are some smaller properties. That's a great question, Dan, but that's the bottleneck because there's just far fewer.
Yeah, got it. Lauren, I know you're ready to tell us your story. You've killed how many turkeys now, adding them all up?
This was 176.
176, okay. But this is your first Osceola. How does it feel to be a member of the Grand Slam Club?
It is something you can only do once. I talked to Jeff, and I said I take out a lot of first-time hunters, and I actually say, your first turkey, I own you. Well, now Jeff sort of owns me because this is my first and probably my last Grand Slam at 77. I was so blessed to have Jeff and another gentleman push me to do this, and I'm glad they did. I really am. Monday, I was a little tired being 77 flying and getting 2 hours of sleep. Monday was a little tough, but you've been with me for a while. You know that turkey hunting comes, I'm going to turkey hunt. I don't care. I was out of bed the next morning before the alarm rang.
Good. And you're heading back to Wisconsin. You'll be mentoring hunters and hunting yourself. You'll be pretty busy when you get back here.
Yeah, I have my 9-year-old grandson on Saturday at the youth hunt. That'll be my first one. And then I have people I know, the A period, B period. I have C, D, E, and F period. So my wife of 57 years will not see me until June.
But she's used to that and she knows it. You're hunting with your grandson this Saturday when this interview will air next week, but I don't want a 7:30 a.m. call from you on Saturday morning. Did you tell Jeff about that?
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
Yeah, Jeff, every time I get a bird, I call Dan at 7:30 a.m. And what do you say, Dan? How do you answer?
I say U.S.O.B. because I know why he's calling.
Oh, yeah.
The phone tells you who's calling.
Oh, yeah.
And interestingly enough, if you get back in time tomorrow night, that last hunt that you and I did where you got that bird the next day, that's on Outdoor Wisconsin in reruns on Thursday night.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I should, because I think it comes on our television at 9. I get home at about 8, so I should be able to see it.
There you go. Well, Jeff, if somebody wants to hunt with you to complete their Grand Slam or to start their Grand Slam, how do they proceed? They go to your website, right?
Yes, sir. Tagitworldwide.com. They can Google Jeff Buds, B-U-D-Z, and that's it. I'd love to take them. And, you know, just like Lauren, which is you know, an amazing story, which you introduced us, and I don't know if I should hug you or punch you in the throat, but nonetheless, after our first interview a couple years ago, you said, oh, I've got the guy that you need to talk to. And then Laura and I talked, and he actually helped out a mutual friend of ours. He said that there were two people, myself and a friend, Ron, who has now three states left to finish his Super Slam. But he gave me a list, and he said, Wisconsin. I said, huh. I know exactly who I'm going to call, and I called Lauren, and he said, absolutely, you haven't come up to me, because as you know, what he's done for the Cheeseheads up there is literally unbelievable. It's just tremendous. So to be a part of that was incredible, but 9 out of 10 of the guys that I hunt with down here, I ask them, you know, because I get sort of busy and I forget conversations, as the birds flopping, is that your first Osceola? And they go, yeah. And what about your Grand Slam? And they say, that's it. That's it. And you know, it's just a euphoric moment. Just like with Lauren, when I saw him and I gave him a hug and I said, welcome to the club, my friend. Welcome to the club.
We'll be back with more of this great story right after this. I'm Dan Small. You're listening to Outdoors Radio.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Your land is your legacy. But keeping it healthy and thriving means caring for it now and in the future. The Family Forest Carbon Program can help you do right by your land with guaranteed income, help developing a forest management plan, and advice from experts. If you own 30 acres or more of forest land, you may be eligible to enroll in the Family Forest Carbon Program. Visit FamilyForestCarbon.org and enroll today.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with Professional Hearing Care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp telling stories and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. I'm talking with Lauren Voss and Jeff Buds. And Jeff, you were saying,
welcome to the club, my friend. Welcome to the club. I mean, I could get teary just saying that because he is a great guy and it's a great story. So my son last spring at 6 got his first Grand Slam and we laughed about it because when Lauren got here the other night and we introduced and Mr. Lauren's here to finish his Grand Slam, I said, you're 7 and he's 77. And you know, for a 7-year-old to contemplate and think and you smoke coming out of his ears, but I do not do this for the money, as most guys would say, or people. And even, you know, Lauren, he definitely doesn't do it for a living. He does it because it's a passion and he rarely gets paid, if anything. But it's incredible to say those words. Welcome to the club, my friend.
Yeah.
And I so appreciate that. If it wasn't for Ron and Jeff, I don't think I'd be sitting here. I know I wouldn't be sitting here.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have got the Grand Slam. I just, it was a thing that, you know, I thought was out of touch at my age and stuff, but, when you get down here, everything's set up and you got a place to stay and where to go and what to do. And it was my kind of hunt. Get in the blind and sit.
Yeah, that's your style of hunting for sure. Not mine, but it works down there and it works here too. It has for you.
Yeah. Well, Jeff asked me, he said, well, how long will you stay there? I said, how long is it open?
Yeah.
I've been 15 and a half hours in a tent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Myself as well. I don't like to, but when the conditions, the situation dictates that, I guarantee you I'd rather sit in that blind all day long and then be able to move to the next state to go for my next hunt because I'm bottlenecked right then and there and I have to get a bird before I move on.
staff. Jeff told me, you sit there, you're going to see a bird. And the first night I saw three hens. And then the next morning, because I'm used to hearing gobbling, I didn't hear any gobbles. And I thought, uh-oh, you know, if in Wisconsin, if you don't hear any gobbles, you probably don't have any birds around.
Yeah.
Because at least they'll gobble a little bit in the trees.
Wow. And we had a storm roll through the last 3 days. We had more rain in the last 3 weeks than we have in the last 7 months.
Yeah, that's what the landowner told me.
Yeah.
She was like thankful for the rain.
Yeah. They're
her
all
fields were all dried out.
Yeah.
And everything.
Yeah.
But I was in a torrential downpour. But the nice thing was the wind wasn't that bad. And these birds must be a lot like ours. Is the wind's not bad. They're going to come out in the rain. I watched one hen. I mean, this was a torrential downpour, and she just put her body up against the fence post. And that's how she rode out the heavy, heavy rain. She didn't go into any shelter or anything. She just sat there. And then the second morning I was out at 7:30, I started seeing birds all the time. I also had a bird in front of me. And the landowner, actually, we were texting. She said, well, at least you can take a nice nap because it sounds good on the roof and, you know, the sound of the raindrop. And I said, nap? When there's birds in front of me, there isn't going to be any napping. And shortly after that, I looked up and a hen came around this pile of dirt they had. And there was a tom right behind her. And the thing was, because it was raining so hard, the beard was sort of pasted to the chest. And you're so used to looking for the beard. But I looked and I went, yeah, I know it's a tom. So I shot and I thought, God, don't make it be a jig. Well, I'll get my grand slam. And then I ran over that. Well, I don't run at 77. I walk really fast. But anyway, I walked over there, and I thought it was an inch and a half. You measured inch and a quarter. I was like elated, and then I saw the beard. The beards here, I think, are a little bit lesser than our beard.
Oh, they're a third. They're not. Yeah. Okay, you guys have paintbrushes.
Yeah,
literally paintbrushes.
Yeah, pencil. Mine was pencil size. I didn't even measure that. I should have. Nine and a quarter, something like that.
Yeah.
And that's not a small bird in Wisconsin, but that's your smaller grade bird. I got one 12 and three quarters.
Yeah.
One feather. One feather was 12 and three quarters.
Yeah.
That's the longest I got.
Yeah. One other difference, these birds have longer legs, don't they, Jeff?
I think proportionally they're smaller birds. I did a flat skin of all four to have a grand slam. I have a full mounted, and then I have the tails, and then I have the flat skins all on the same wall so you can easily see it. But the whole cape is, gosh, two-thirds that of what an Eastern is. And if they would stand side by side, that Osceola would be 5-6 inches at least shorter where the head would sit. But anyway, I think proportionally, Dan, to answer your question, I think that maybe the Osceola legs are a little bit more of leg. But if you put the leg actually next to the Eastern, probably the same size, but they're so much shorter.
Well, the body size.
So proportionally.
Yeah,
got it. Well, Jeff, I understand you learned something from the Wisconsin turkey commander when you were cutting up his bird.
I'm doing my happy dance, Dan.
I did. We caped his, and I keep all the meat. He's got a bunch of meat and all and traveling. He said, hey, do you want it? I said, I'll gladly take every bit of it. So I take the breast and the legs. And then he said, why don't you take the shoulders? And I said, what? And he flipped it over and he said, look at those two chunks. And honestly, I've never taken one shoulder. And I think of the, oh my gosh, that's a lot of weight. I hate to put a number to it, but it's, you get a semi for all the shoulders that I've gone by the wayside.
And who taught me that? I told you. Who taught me to take the shoulders?
Dan.
Yeah.
Dan the man.
Yeah, I don't know where I learned that, but, well, maybe from butchering chickens. I just don't waste any meat. And, yeah, there are a couple of oyster-sized nuggets and tender meat. It's great. It's as tender as the tender part of the breast.
I end up with a lot of meat. You know, we call it in. I write the name, the phone number, and the confirmation number on the bag. I've got several capes I'll drop off in Tennessee to a tax service I work with. But at the end of the year, as soon as I get back, the first chore I try and tackle is thawing all the meat out and processing it, grinding it. I either make jerky or we eat a lot of ground turkey. Thawed it all out and separated it. And I had, I bet you a third of the meat I had was leg meat because nobody keeps their thighs. And even if they want their breasts, I said, hey, you want that thigh meat? Oh, no. Can I take it? Oh, absolutely. So I have 2-gallon bags full of thigh meat alone. I just keep the bag open and I keep filling it up, and then I, you know, I'll seal it up. It'll freeze solid. And for 2 months, it's just fine in that freezer, and I get it all out, thaw it out and clean it. You know what red deer meat looks like and white turkey meat. And it's a little bit darker, but a third of leg meat in there, you can't tell the difference. But anyway, that shoulder, I guarantee you that I'm going to fill up some bags with that stuff. I mean, that's perfect. It's beautiful white meat.
Oh, yeah. That would make like nuggets, you know, bigger nuggets.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, you saute that in the morning for breakfast, and, you know, those two little nuggets are like a couple slices of bacon, only tastier.
Yeah, yeah, that's great.
Hey, if you got an extra gallon of those thighs frozen, just throw them in Lauren's suitcase, and I'll help him take care of them when he gets back.
Dad, the connection's getting bad.
Oh, you didn't understand that. Okay. Well, guys, we got to wrap this up. Jeff, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, both to host Lauren there and to share your story and his story on the radio with us.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you and all that you do. And of course, Lauren, and it's a warm and fuzzy. And for him to come down and hang out with the family, I mean, everybody, all the Karens and all the antis that want to harp and go after folks like us, they just don't understand this, the camaraderie, the big picture of what just took place in these days. I mean, it's just incredible. It's absolutely incredible, and I'm honored to be able to do it.
When I met Jeff and Ron, it was like, okay, 10 seconds. It was like, we've been brothers forever. I mean, that's the way it was. I think hunting, it's a brotherhood, and this was rather a big deal with me. It just hit me off guard how now I got two guys that are working to do something for me, and I really appreciate it. I really do.
Well deserved.
Yeah. Lauren, before you went down there, and actually when we talked about Grand Slams for the last several years, you just kind of shrugged it off. You thought, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. It's no big deal. But it is a big deal now that you've done it.
Oh, yeah. Now all those times now when I start my turkey seminars and everybody goes, did you get the Grand Slam? And I look them in the face and go, no. Now I'm going to say, yep.
And it only took you 57 years.
Yeah.
Well, Lauren, travel safely, and we hope to see you soon. I know you're going to be a busy guy when you get back, but I will see you sometime this turkey season. Maybe do a little fishing.
Of course, you'll hear from me at the 7:30, so.
What, do you sleep in to go turkey hunting?
No. That's after I've shot the bird. I call him to tell him I got a bird.
But you're flying. You need to shoot him quicker. Dan, I'm going to start calling you.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Well, thanks a lot, guys.
Okay. Have a good
pleasure.
One.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, you're quite welcome. TagitWorldwide.com is Jeff Budd's website. You can learn all about the Osceola hunts and the other hunts that he offers. He's also a pro staffer for Huntworth Gear, as I am, and for 4-Play Turkey Calls, HuntworthGear.com and 4PlayTurkeyCall.com. By the way, we have a special offer from 4-Play Turkey Calls. You can save 10% on any order at 4PlayTurkeyCall.com. Just use the promo code SMALL10 to save 10%. Again, that's SMALL10 at number 4PlayTurkeyCall.com. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Your land is your legacy. But keeping it healthy and thriving means caring for it now and in the future. The Family Forest Carbon Program can help you do right by your land with guaranteed income, help developing a forest management plan, and advice from experts. If you own 30 acres or more of forest land, you may be eligible to enroll in the Family Forest Carbon Program. Visit familyforestcarbon.org and enroll today.
The Midwest's largest fishing website, lake-link.com, is your online fishing resource. 90% of Lake Link's features are yours to use free of charge. And members get access to Lake Link's online lake map library, lets you get GPS coordinates of any spot on the lake, and export waypoints to your onboard electronics. Members also get free outdoor classified ads, discounts on online store merchandise, and a whole lot more. You can also listen to Outdoors Radio 24/7 on Lake Link. Listen to this week's show, catch any of our past shows, subscribe to our podcast, or even sign up for our weekly e-newsletter so you'll know in advance what's coming up right here. Just type in the keyword radio. See what you've been missing. Log on to lake-link.com today. That's lake-link.com.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Jeff Kelm. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, on the web at cedarlakesales.com, by Crestliner Boats at crestliner.com, and by Mercury Marine at mercurymarine.com. Cedar Lake Sales, big marine rummage sale going on this Saturday, April 18th. Get details online at cedarlakesales.com. We're also brought to you by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, Green Bay, and now Wapaka. PROFHearingCare.com.
If our TV show Outdoor Wisconsin is not airing where you live, you can always watch past episodes at MilwaukeePBS.org, and my Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV special is archived on YouTube at Deer Hunt Wisconsin.
And the radio program you hear right now is online all the time. Download it, take it with you. Lake-link.com. They have an outdoor radio page that you can download the show at. You can also check out outdoornews.com/podcast. Download it there. Find Dan Small on social media as Dan Small Outdoors. You can find me at Hardwater Jeff.
And remember, you can save 10% on any turkey call order at the number 4PlayTurkeyCall.com. That's 4PlayTurkeyCall.com. Just use the promo code SMALL10 at checkout. That's the number 4PlayTurkeyCall.com, promo code SMALL10. Well, we talked about flooding before. Just be aware of the possibility that the river you need to drive over, or that you want to fish, or that you want to go see sturgeon spawning in, might be flooded. So check locally. I've got the weather radio. Got it on all the time because we get all kinds of warnings from there. The Milwaukee County Parks Youth Fishing Clinics are going on today, Saturday the 18th, supposedly, but again, check locally, make sure. And the 31st annual Milwaukee River Keeper Cleanup is next Saturday at 90 locations. It's a great event. They're going to try to set a world record. To learn more, go to MilwaukeeRiverKeeper.org. My Lake of the Woods trip is sold out, but you can sign up for the waiting list if you want to be notified if somebody drops out. Just go to blackisland.com and you'll find information there. Lost in the Woods Improv's next gig is April 24th at the Backstage in Bayfield. Their special guest for the long form Armando is Hannah Stonehouse Hudson, good friend of ours, and she's well known throughout the state. She's got an amazing story to share. And they've got a full schedule this spring with weekly performances in Washburn and Bayfield. Find details at Lost in the Woods Improv on Facebook. Our theme music is by Warren Nelson. If you missed Warren and Friends' gig last Saturday, their next one is May 9th at the Harbor Table in Washburn. Come for the show at 4. Stay for the prime rib. It's always a lot of fun. For more on Warren and his music, visit warrennelson.com. I'm Dan Small, here with Jeff Kelm. Get outside this weekend, folks, and be sure to join us again next week for Outdoors Radio. And, Jeff, if it rains, go play in a puddle there in sand country.
I might just do so.
And the heron is fishing on one cold leg. When the loon cries, lover, in the blue north wind, I'll be trolling home to you. When my wrist gets a little chilly
on the gunwale. When my lazy Ike is just too lazy to lure. When the worms go dry in the coffee can, honey,